Let's pray together as we begin our Torah study. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This weekend is Shabbat HaGadol, the great Shabbat before Passover. It is a wonderful time of preparation. It is traditional to read from the book of Malachi about God's promises to us. Two promises in particular. One is to provide for us and to protect us as we're bringing to him the whole tithe. And the other one is that he will send the ministry of Elijah to reconcile the hearts of the children to the hearts of the parents. And it's important, you know, we're living in a time where there's a lot of estrangement, a lot of brokenness in families. It's important to welcome the promised ministry of the Lord to us. We need his help, don't we, for our families? And, you know, it's not just little children, but it's every age that's important. And, you know, one of the great tragedies I have noticed is when someone is facing death and they haven't been reconciled with their family. And so it's our heart that none of us would get to that place. But it's not just that which we want to avoid. We want to actually do something very positive. We want to pass on faith to the next generation. We want to be people of faith who raise our children in faith and in trust in God, to walk with the Lord and to be faithful. And so it's a wonderful thing to commit to raise your children. One of the reasons why our Shabbat school program is important is because the children are important. And we want to pass on everything that we possibly can. And as parents, we want to be committed to our kids. But as a community, we also want to be committed. So on this Shabbat HaGadol, I hope that you will keep your hearts open to what's important to the Lord in all ways, and that you will continue to use this time of preparation as we're anticipating Pesach to get ready for the things that God wants to do in our lives. We talked last week about the fact that for Jewish people, the story of the Exodus maybe is the greatest story from the Bible, and for Christians, the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus is the greatest story. And for Messianic Jews, we don't have to decide either or. For us, the two stories work together. And as we're anticipating Pesach, as we're getting ready for Passover, it's important that we unite these two stories, that we see the connection. It's interesting that this week, as we're reading from Torah, Parshat Tzav, we read about the sin offerings and the peace offerings that God commands. And we are told that it's necessary for there to be blood atonement for the forgiveness of our sins. That ties in with the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua as well. And we understand as well that the Passover is something that we're anticipating. And next Friday night, as we have the first Seder, and some of you will have second Seder on Saturday, and some of you will just keep going all the way. Who knows how many Seders you can have? There may be no limit. You just keep having more Seders. As you're preparing for those Passover Seders, and as you're celebrating them, it's so important to make the connection for yourself. The Exodus and the Passover lamb at Exodus, the redemption that he brought to the children of Israel. The children of Israel were told that God was going to deliver them. He was going to rescue them from slavery, and he would become their king instead of Pharaoh. He would make redemption, but it was necessary for the children of Israel to begin to trust in God on God's terms, on God's timetable, doing what God said to do. And he told the children of Israel on that particular day, they needed to take a lamb and they needed to sacrifice that lamb as an offering to the Lord. And then they needed to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of their houses. But what if they didn't feel like it? They still needed to do it, and they needed to get their feelings in line with God's command. What if they were busy? They had work to do that night. What should they do? What should they have done? Reschedule their work. It turns out that there was no greater work that could be done than obedience to the Lord. And there was no second chance. There wasn't, even though there is a second Seder that we might celebrate, there wasn't a second Seder in Egypt. On that night, it was time to go when it was time to go. Now, what was very important is that the children of Israel put their trust in God, and they demonstrated by their actions. It would not have been enough to say, yes, I believe, but then do whatever they wanted on their own schedule and on their own terms. God was very clear, and he said that he would protect the children of Israel during that fateful night when the firstborn sons of the whole land, both human and beast, would be in jeopardy. There was only one way to get protection on that night, and that was to do what the Lord had said, to be obedient to him, and to take that lamb and to offer it to the Lord, to take the blood, to put it on the doorposts, to roast the lamb and to eat it together with the family, and to stay inside. And the Lord said that the angel of death was going to pass through the land. But he was going to come and he was going to protect the children of Israel. Now, sometimes when we hear Passover, we think that you can break that into two English words, pass and over, and that means that God's going to avoid or ignore these houses, skip these houses, but that's not really what it means. It means that he will come and he will stand in front of the house and protect that house from the destroyer, from the one who would take the life. And so the Lord becomes the rescuer. Now, today I took some time. I was watching YouTube videos about lambs that are bouncing. And how many of you have ever seen a bouncing lamb? You know, lambs can walk. Eric, you guys had lambs, right? Many lambs. Did you ever shear them?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. They're not so compliant.
No.
Did you ever eat them?
Yes.
Yes. It's true. So if you want to know details about shearing and eating, you can talk to the painters. You can also talk to the Wallison family. They also are raising lambs right now, and they have stories to tell. But when you see pictures of lambs, you know, out in the field, not only do they walk and not only can they run a little bit, but they bounce up and down. They've sort of got a pogo mechanism inside of their legs. And can we show? Do we have something? Yeah, okay, watch this one. Okay, see how... Okay, this is a lamb that was raised with dogs. And it sort of got the Passover spirit, you see, sort of chasing and stopping. And this is cute. Those of you who are listening by podcast later, you know, we'll post this video so as you're listening, you can watch. But this, isn't that a great, great bouncing lamb? Now, the word for Pesach is connected to the bouncing of a lamb. And so, if we could make a new English verb, we could say the Lord will Pesach through the land, which means he's going to... What, great, these are great lambs. I don't think we're finished with these lambs. They've got a little bit more to show us. And they're off. Thank you very much, Bethany, for showing that. So do you get the picture how the lamb is like bouncing? In the Hebrew, what we're told is that God is going to bounce through the land like a sheep, and he will position himself in front of each house wherever he sees the blood of the lamb. And so if we understand this, that the Lord, the Lamb of God, our Passover lamb, is looking for the lamb, is looking for people who have become obedient to him and put their trust in him and have taken the blood of the lamb in anticipation that that blood will be a demonstration of God's power and his redemption in their lives. And so the Lord bounces. So, you know, the idea in English that many people have is God skips, meaning he ignores, but rather he skips like a lamb that bounces. And so at Passover Seders that I do, especially when we have children and boisterous ones at that, I like to make a demonstration of what the Lord did for us. And I ask for the strongest, biggest, baddest guy we've got to take the position of the Lord. And then a little boy or girl, better a boy, but girls work too in this, because it may get rough. It depends on how rough the girls and boys are in the family. But for one of them to take the position of the angel of death. And so the big, strong guy stands in protection of the rest of us at the Seder. And this little angel of death tries to get past him. And I remember one case where it was a very determined young lad who was trying to get past. And he almost did it by going under the legs. But the guy grabbed him and squeezed him until he stopped, and then picked him up in the air and held him and walked him out of the room. And that was a great picture for me of the activity of protection that is like what God did for us. He stood as an intercessor in this way, in the gap between the house of those who were trusting in God and the one who came with the assignment to destroy, and he protected. Now, this is very important for us to understand. When we think about the lion of the tribe of Judah and we think about the Lamb of God, I want you to understand something. Yeshua has both sides to him. He is strong and fierce, and he is also meek like a lamb. But be certain of this. When he laid his life down for us as a sacrifice, he did it willingly. No one took his life from him. He gave up his life, and no one could take his life. This is one of the reasons why he posed a threat all the way to the very end to Rome, because he was defiant about the power of Imperial Rome. And he asserted that he had all authority. They had only what was granted to them or allowed to them. And you know, the Romans didn't like that. And in fact, totalitarian leaders never like that. If you defy their power, it's not unusual for them to take life. So we remember the Exodus, we celebrate the Exodus, but we also remember Yeshua is our Passover lamb. And he is also our sacrificial lamb. So think about these two different aspects, that he is the Passover lamb who becomes the sacrifice of redemption for us. He purchases us out of slavery. He brings us out of a kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom. And he transfers our citizenship so that we become citizens of the kingdom of God, citizens who belong to the Lord, who recognize the authority of God. And no matter what country we're in, we belong to a kingdom that is ruled by the Lord. And that is made possible by the Lord, by his redemption. He delivers us out of slavery, out of darkness, out of addictions, out of troubles, out of sorrows, out of sickness. He delivers us from the power of sin. He delivers us from the power of death. He gives us resurrection life. And so when he redeems us from so much trouble, but he also gives us identity. When you think about Passover, it's important to remember this. The children of Israel marked their houses and themselves in this way, and they said, "We belong to God, we don't belong to Pharaoh." Now, if God didn't show up, you know what? They had marked their houses as the houses of rebels and those who defied the Pharaoh. And so there would be no hiding. If you compare it to the situation in World War II with the Nazis, every Jew knew to go into hiding, not to mark your house. No Jew would mark their own house and say, "I'm here if you're looking for me." But at Passover, every house of Israel was marked. So if God had not come, it all would have been lost for those. But you see, this tells us something, that redemption is also connected to identity and identification. When our identity is in God, then we identify with him, and we make identification with God on God's terms. Now here's the rub. Yeshua is the Passover lamb. And can I say it this way? He's not the Easter ham. Right? We laugh about this sometimes. You know, at Yom Kippur, I say, we do not participate in that unusual Jewish practice of taking a chicken and swinging it over the head and declaring that our sins are now on that, because the scripture doesn't say, "Behold the chicken of God." But it also does not say, "Behold the ham of God that takes away the sins of the world." And we're to eat of the lamb. We're to identify ourselves with the Lamb of God, to identify and connect with him. And it's important for us to understand that when Yeshua came, it wasn't that he accidentally came to Israel. It wasn't that he accidentally was born into a Jewish family. It wasn't that he accidentally was raised in the synagogue. He came as a Jew because he came as the Jewish Messiah, because through the Jewish Messiah, redemption came not only to the Jewish people, but to the whole world. And that's God's business that we have to get ourselves aligned with. So it's important to make identification with him. We need to connect with Yeshua. And Pesach is an important time to connect with Yeshua on his terms. Heart to heart. And we need to connect with his Jewishness. We need to know him. We need to know what's important to him. We need to find significance in his identity. We can't just be indifferent or apathetic to his identity. We need to connect with him based on who he is. Now, this consistency and this unity between Pesach and Yeshua is so important. I want to share with you three scriptures that represent the unity of connection. The first one is Matthew 26, verses 17 through 19. It says this: "Now on the first day of unleavened bread," how do you say unleavened bread in Hebrew? Matzah. Say it with me. Matzah. And just to remind you, how much matzah do you need for Passover? Lots of matzah. That's right. I bought my 5 pounds the other day. Sandy and I did a pretty thorough taste test on matzah last year and came to the conclusion Yehuda matzah is the tastiest. It's from Israel. That's our favorite. But King David matzah is not bad. Now, on the first day of matzah, unleavened bread, the disciples came to Yeshua and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat our Easter dinner?" Wait a minute. That's not right. I'm just having fun. Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? If you just pause for a moment and think about this, they knew Yeshua well enough to understand that they had to make plans together for Pesach, that he would want to eat Passover, and that they needed to participate, and that he had ideas about how it would be done. Where do you want us to prepare for you? Now, I can tell you this. When people are connected heart to heart, they're concerned with what the other person wants. And so you can see this heart connection between Yeshua and his disciples is very strong. They're coming to him and saying, "Where do you want to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man, say to him, 'The teacher says the time is near. I'm to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" The disciples did as Yeshua had directed them. You see, whether it was at the Exodus or it was at this Passover, this is a key. We need to get our hearts lined up with God so that we become faithful to the direction and the details that he gives us. It says, they did as Yeshua had directed them, and they, what does your scripture say? They prepared the Passover. So this was something that they responded to and actively participated in. Now let me ask you a question about the Apostle Paul. His apostolic calling was to whom? To Gentiles, or we could say to the nations, the other nations other than the Jewish people. That did not mean that he ceased to be Jewish. We know this because even to the Romans, he said, "I am a Pharisee and I am of the tribe of Benjamin," and so forth. And so he did not cease to be a Jew. You could say he became a Messianic Jew. Nor did he teach the people around him that Jewishness meant nothing and that they were free to just disregard everything. In fact, some of his teachings only make sense if you're already immersed in Jewish life and the Jewish people, the Tanakh and the Jewish scriptures. If you're not familiar with them, then 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, which we're going to look at, will not make any sense to you. But if you are already familiar and part of the Jewish world and the Jewish community, then these things will make sense. Okay, here's the first statement. Clean out the old leaven. Now, what does that mean? It means something to Jewish people who are accustomed in preparing for Passover to clean out the old leaven. It means you search through the house and you get rid of the chametz. You get rid of the five grains and all those things that can be leavening agents with them, and you remove those from your house. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. You are in fact matzah. So I want you to smile if you're sitting next to someone and just say, "You're matzah. You're matzah. You are matzah," according to Paul, if I'm reading him right. "For Messiah, our Passover, also has been sacrificed." Messiah, our Passover. And I want you to understand that in the Greek, it's using a Greek word to communicate one and only one thing, Passover. There's no word in the Greek that could be translated Easter for all the Americans. It's not about Easter, it's about Passover, this passage. Now, in some countries, like Italy and some other places, the name for the Christian holiday is not Easter or something like it, but it's Pascha or something derived from the Hebrew Pesach. For Messiah, our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, the holiday, Pesach, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the matzah, the unleavened bread, of sincerity and truth. So I want you to see what Paul is doing here. He is uniting and integrating the new covenant in Messiah and the Passover Seder and the historic Exodus. He's putting it all together. And if you're looking for how to break it apart, you will be doing something that Paul never did. He was uniting it together. He wasn't destroying the original Passover. Now we go to the last scripture. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, which makes a simple statement. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. When the writer of Hebrews is making this powerful statement, he is saying to the new covenant believers, the Messianic Jews of that era, he's saying to them, Moses kept the Passover with faith. And through that, Israel was protected from the destroyer of the firstborn. In other words, the Exodus was important. But it's not only that the Exodus was important, the Exodus is still important. And not only is the Exodus important, but the connection between Passover and Yeshua is important. So as we are preparing for Passover, I think it's very important for us to use this time to stir up friends and family to ask questions. Now, I'll be celebrating with my family, and who knows what kinds of questions they're going to ask or be interested in this time. There have been times, honestly, some of my siblings might hear this, I don't know, but there have been times when my siblings did not want to know anything or hear anything about my faith, about the Jewishness of Yeshua and all of that. It was truly a don't ask, don't tell policy that they had. But things change and things develop over time. And because of that, I've learned that every opportunity can be a good opportunity, not to force anything upon anyone and not to be intrusive, but to be responsive and simply to be ourselves, to be honest, to be open, to be friendly, to be kind. If you're invited to an Easter meal, don't be crude. Don't be like I was earlier. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can laugh among ourselves, and with friends, we can make all sorts of jokes. But we need to learn how to show respect one to another and how to fellowship with family, with friends, with people who have different understandings, and then to use that as an opportunity for good conversation and real fellowship, not as a chance to just insult, divide, and separate. So I encourage you, as you're getting ready for Pesach that begins next Friday, make it your position to be like the disciples of Yeshua and prepare a Passover yourself. Make it your position to be like Moses and keep the Passover with faith. And make it your position to be like Paul and to use the Passover as a point of reference and as a point of experience so that you can understand all that Yeshua has done for us in addition to rescuing us from Egypt, rescuing us also from the kingdom of darkness, bringing us in to that great kingdom of God's beloved Son. And when the language of Passover and the language of Messiah work together for you, you know what? You can be useful to other people as well. So it's my heart and my desire that you would keep the Passover too, and you would keep it with faith and with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Lord, I thank you that Yeshua is our Pesach lamb. I thank you, Lord, for the redemption that you made for us in Egypt. I thank you, Lord, that we can now identify with the redemption that you made for us in the death of Messiah Yeshua, in his burial, in his resurrection. And that during this season, we can remember the Exodus, we can remember the death, the resurrection of Messiah, and we can see the integrity and we can see the unity of this long story that is a full demonstration of your faithfulness and your covenant-keeping faith to us. We thank you, Lord, that you put faith in us and that you call us to celebrate this Pesach with faith. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Before we will close our service, we want to pray for everyone who really have a need in the Holy Spirit, in the miracle, healing or something what you have in your heart. We can read it in John chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover. We almost 6 days. 7 days. 6 days. Yeshua came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, from Yeshua had raised from the dead. And they have fellowship with the raised from the dead, a person who was raised from the dead. And it was so huge miracle, and so many Jewish people who live in that area, they want to came to see Yeshua, and not only Yeshua, but also to see Lazarus, because he was raised from the dead. It was a miracle. And I really believe that it's very special time. We need to have anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to have fellowship with the Lord, very close. And I want to tell you that, you know also, we don't need one more religion or something. We need to have fellowship with the Lord. When Yeshua came to this earth, he brings something to this earth. And it was power. It was revelation about Father. When he teach, it was with the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody could not resist him because Holy Spirit was with him. And people, some people are believers, some not, but when they saw Lazarus, they could not say anything. He was the living. He was the miracle from the Lord. And I believe we need to have miracles in our life. And we are living miracles. And we just want to pray for everyone who wants to pray. If you want to go home, if you need to go home, please be free to go. But if you want to have prayer time, we will pray for you with anointing, with all the oil. And I believe that God will do something special in these days. Just be open. Have faith. Remember when Martha speak with Yeshua and he told, trust, believe. Lord can raise him from the dead. And you remember what she says? Yes, I believe. In the past days, after everything, he will raise. Yeshua says, no, I'm resurrection. I'm life. And he did miracle. It was great miracle. So have faith. God can do everything. Everything is possible for him. Amen. So we can close with a prayer. And also, everybody who wants to have prayer, you can come forward and we will pray for you. Just anoint you with the oil and we will trust the Lord for greater miracle in our life. Amen.
So we'll close with Aaron's blessing. And then I want to invite everyone who wants prayer to come down. Instead of leaving, come down. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you, the watchman of Israel. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace, his abundance, his health, his blessings. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Amen. Come down now, those who would like to receive prayer.